Yeah, so we are really standing in a very holy ground, and we are all very holy people. Our hands are made holy. God has made each one of us holy. So we are here this evening, not as sinners. We are here this evening, not as slaves. We are here this evening, not as condemned people. We are here this evening as holy people. And we are here in this holy ground. The Lord is here with us. The angels are here with us. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
So, we are holy people. And we are made holy. Of all of God's creatures, we are the ones, the only ones, made in the image and likeness of God. We are the only ones made in the image and likeness of God. And that means a lot. And that's why we are really special people. And that's why each one of us is called by God to be a member of his family. How many of you feel called by God to be a member of his family? I do. Yeah. We are all called by God to be members of his family through baptism. But sometimes we live our lives, we don't think of ourselves as very special people. We don't think of ourselves as very holy people. We don't think of ourselves as God's personal possession. People that are very close, people that are made in the image and likeness of God. That is not an image sometimes we have of ourselves when we go through life. And we allow the enemy to deceive us, to lie to us. He never tells the truth. He lies to us. And I don't even like to call him Satan or the devil or Lucifer or whatever, because it makes him seem distant. It would be like just call a random name, John, Peter, and all that. But if you call him enemy, he's your enemy. So the devil is your enemy. So if you call him, you refer to him as your enemy, you know that you have nothing to do with him. And you know that you shouldn't hear anything he says to you. Because whatever comes out from him is lies. He doesn't tell you the truth. So he's the one who constantly puts that voice in you and said, oh, I am not really good. You know, my life has no meaning. My life has no purpose. God cannot love me. God cannot care for me. God, you know, you hear those voices constantly. And then when you fall in sin, for example, all he makes it a little more difficult for you. Last Sunday evening, I was doing our meditation on our spiritual warfare. And I was saying there are three tactics that the devil always uses with us. So he will first, you know, he will first tempt you, and he will lie to you, deceive you to do something and all that. And then when you fall into sin, what does he do in step three? He will end up accusing you. And then he begins to lie to you. He begins to say to you, you know, oh, God will not love you anymore. God doesn't care about you anymore. God has abandoned you. God is not there for you. And when you constantly hear those voices, know that those voices are not from God. That those voices are from the enemy. Because God cares about each one of us. And God loves each one of us. He loves us because we are created in his image and his likeness. And again and again, and if you go through our biblical history, you see that when the people of God turned away from him, he did not abandon them. He always reached out to them to bring them to himself, because they are created in his image and likeness, and because they belong to him. And we belong to God. We are created in his image and his likeness. So whatever lies the devil has told you in the past, even before coming here this evening, whatever you believe, that maybe nobody cares for you, God doesn't care for you, that your life is all screwed up and all that, do not believe that, because God cares for you, and that is his good news this evening. That I love you. I love you personally. And I will do anything for you. We are just coming out of the season, or we just came out of the season of Lent, and we are in the season of Easter. And what we celebrate in Easter, we are celebrating God's awesome love for us. That he saw that we all screwed up, our ancestors, they all screwed up. And he decided to send Jesus Christ to die for each one of us. The cross is a symbol of that love of God. The resurrection is a new life that he offers to us. And by the resurrection, he's saying to us, I care for each one of you. I did what I did because I love you and I care for you. Jesus Christ did not die for a crowd. He died for each person in this world. None of us is a number. I know our society tends to treat us as numbers. Well, as a little baby, you get a social security number. So you want to apply for a credit card, they look at a number. A loan, or a mortgage, they look at a number. So constantly, wherever we are, we always deal with numbers. But that's not how God deals with us. God doesn't see us as a number. God sees each one of us as his beloved. If it was just one person that would have needed Jesus to die on the cross, he would have gone on that cross for that one person. I absolutely believe that if I were the only one that needed Christ to die on the cross, Jesus is not going to say, oh, if just you, I don't care that much about you, I'm not going to go on that cross. No, he will go on that cross just for me, because I belong to him, because I am created in the image and likeness of God. So God cares about each one of us. And that's why the second reading from last Sunday was a very, very special reading from the first book of John. Where the evangelist John says, beloved, you are children of God. You are children of God. The reason the world does not know you as God's children is because the world does not know him. And I think the most beautiful part of that reading is, what you will become in future has not yet been revealed. When that is revealed, you will see God as it truly is. We are children of God. And that is a good news. What will be in future? If you don't know, what will be in future? We will inherit the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God rightfully belongs to us, God's children. The devil has no place in it. The enemy has no place in it. It belongs to God's children. That battle was fought and won for us already in the book of Revelation, when Archangel Michael drove Satan and all the rebellious angels from heaven. So, heaven belongs to us, God's children. That's why St. Paul in the book of Romans chapter 8, he says that we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus of the kingdom of God. We become co-heirs with Christ Jesus because we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. So the kingdom of God belongs to Jesus Christ because he is rightfully the Son of God. And because we are, Christ has made each one of us his brother or his sister. We also have a share in that inheritance. That is really how special we are, and I can't emphasize this enough. And let's not just take this in our heads, but believe it in our hearts. Because this will change your whole life when you realize how special you are. Then there's nothing you need to be afraid of. There's nothing you need to be worried about. Because you can always trust that God is there to care for you. God loves each one of us personally. He loves us. We are engraved in the palms of his hands. So he will never forget us, the prophet Isaiah tells us. Even if a mother will forget her child, that God will never forget us. Why? Because we are constantly in the presence of God, and he will care for each one of us. God loves each one of us, and God has called each one of us by name to share in his presence. God has called each one of us by name to share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. We all are brothers and sisters of God. I like the language Paul uses both in Galatians and in Romans. He uses the language of adoption. Perhaps adoption today is a little bit different from the time Paul was writing in the Greco-Roman world. Today, when you adopt a child, sometimes you have to let the child know who the real parents are. When the child turns 18, the child can go look, go in search of the parents and all that. But at the time Paul was writing, when you adopted someone, that person becomes fully a member of that new family. Whatever obligations or debts or whatever he had in his previous family, they were all wiped. The law considered him a new person. A completely new person. And Paul is saying that is how it is for us Christians. Through our adoption in Christ Jesus, each one of us have become a very new person. Each one of us is a new person. So that it doesn't matter whatever your past was. It doesn't matter how you lived your life in the past, how you screwed up. You are now a new person. And you are now a member of God's family. Faith was just baptized. You know, you're gonna make it in my home. Yeah. Faith was just baptized on Holy Saturday night. She was really drenched with water, with a bucket of water. And I said to her before, about 2 weeks before, when I did, I said, you know, Faith, whatever you did in your life, you have a new beginning on that Holy Saturday night. When that water is poured on you, you become a completely new person. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. It doesn't matter the things you regret about. It doesn't matter what you did in college. I don't know what you did, but whatever you did in college, it doesn't matter. You are now... Yeah, it's gone. You are now a new person. Yeah, you are now a new person. So we are very, very special people called to be new in this family of Jesus Christ. And we have to believe that. And we have to keep it in our hearts that we are special people, that we are loved by God. If you read the Gospel of John, chapter 17, it's a very, very special gospel because Jesus Christ has this extended prayer in which he prays for the church and he prays for each one of us. Those of us who will join the church in the future. You know, he prayed for each one of us. He had us in mind. And as part of that prayer, Jesus said, I think it's in verse 24, he says that they are your gift to me. He's referring to each one of us, that we are the gift of the Father to him. That's how Jesus looks at us. Not as screwed up people. He looks at us as people who are so special and are given to him by the Father. And in the very last verse of that chapter, Jesus said a prayer, which I think is also very special. He said, give to them your love that you have for me. Can you imagine for a moment the kind of love that the Father has for the Son? That is perfect love. And Jesus, in that gospel, he said, I want you to give to the Christians the same kind of love. He's not selfish. He doesn't just want to keep it to himself. He doesn't just want to have it alone. But he wants each one of us to share in that love. And that love has been generously poured upon us. That love was poured upon us on the cross. The blood that flowed from the side of Jesus Christ on that cross, when he was being beaten, the blood that came out of him, that blood is a sign of his love. It is an outpouring of God's love for us. That perfect love.
The problem is that sometimes we do not accept that love. We don't accept it. Because we don't feel or believe that we marry that love. Yeah, we don't marry it. It's a gift. Generously given to us. We don't marry it. We should accept it joyfully. Because to reject that love is to reject what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. To reject the love that is extended to us by Christ is to reject the cross. Is to reject the glory of the cross. That love is poured upon each one of us. And we have to be vulnerable to that love. We have to accept that love with joyful hearts. We have to stop listening to the enemy say to us that God can't love you that much. He can't do that for you because you're all screwed up. No, we need to be vulnerable to the Father's love and accept it with joyful hearts. If we are not vulnerable to that love, then we're going to find it very difficult to have the kind of spiritual breakthroughs in our lives that we need. If we're not vulnerable to that love, then the next time we have a little problem, we are going to begin to complain. We are going to begin to feel that God has abandoned us. We need to be vulnerable to God's love for us. Because that love is a proof of His faithfulness to us. It is a proof to us that He will be there for us when we need Him. It is a proof for us that He will care for us. Because as St. Paul tells us, there's nothing greater that a person can do for a friend than to lay down their lives. Yet Jesus has proven that He's a true friend. Jesus has proven that He cares for each one of us, and He laid down His life for us. And we have to accept that with generous hearts. The blood that was shed on the cross was shed that we may have the fullness of life. As Jesus says, that we may have abundant life. If our lives are also filled of problems and all we think about every day and the different problems and all that, then we are not living abundantly as Christ wants us to live. We are not living in that joy. So we have to let go and accept the love that Jesus Christ gives to us. As we begin this retreat, I want to invite you to open yourselves to receive that love. See this weekend as an opportunity in which God wants to change your life. He wants to open yourselves. And I know that to be very difficult to open ourselves. Sometimes you're kind of like, yeah, very skeptical. I want to watch and say, you know, they're questioning, they're asking and all that. I don't want you to question anything. Just feel free. Here, what we do is we are very unstructured. If you feel like shouting amen, shout amen. Nobody's going to look at you and say, you know. Nobody will look at you and say, oh, you're weird, you know. You're shouting amen. If you feel like singing, just start singing. We know the song will join you. This is very unstructured because our movement here is about what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us. We are not gathered here, we don't, you know, have any special agenda rather than just be here and let the Holy Spirit move us and let the Holy Spirit change our lives. Because when you have the joy of the Holy Spirit in you, you know, your life is going to be different. No matter how hard life treats you, you will be firm. You will have that joy in you, and that joy will radiate. So this evening, one of the first things we're going to begin this evening with is the sacrament of reconciliation.
Because to have a retreat like this in which we open ourselves, we don't want to have, you know, we just want to make sure that we are one with God. And the sacrament of reconciliation is an invitation to love. I am not there to judge you. That's not what my job is. My job is to extend God's love to you. So just come and be loved by God. See, I went to confession and I went on Tuesday. And it really feels good. Whenever you go, it feels really good. And I was glad, you know, spend time in confession and talk to the priest and face to face, which is really great, you know. So, you get, but if you feel uncomfortable with me, face to face, you can back me. I don't really care. But what I want you is to come and receive that love, that awesome love. Begin the retreat by opening yourself to the love that Jesus Christ offers in the sacrament of reconciliation. Perhaps you've not been in a while. It's a good time for you to come to confession. Come and let God love you. Come, let Him pour His love generously upon you. If you can't come this evening, that's fine. It's a room I need a little bit more time to think about the things, you know, they want to talk about in confessional. I'm available through tomorrow as well, so whenever you can ask me and I will listen to your confession. If there's something bothering you about your faith and all that, you can talk to me also. You can use that as an opportunity to talk to me about what is bothering you. But one thing I do ask of you this weekend is just to be open. To be open. Even in our group, in the group discussions, just be open, share as the Spirit moves you. Nobody here is going to go off and talk about it and say, oh, I can't believe what she shared or something. That's not what this is. We are people of the Spirit, and we just allow the Spirit to move us. Throughout tomorrow, you'll have different sections. And after sections, some of them have group discussions and all that. We break into groups and we'll have different discussions. But again, all through those sections, just be open and constantly ask God, you know, what you want to do with me. Just tell Him I'm open, you know, I just want you to use me. Because it's the way God, you know, uses ordinary people, you know, to do extraordinary things. Some of my friends from high school will actually laugh and say, if a classmate from high school was sitting down here and hearing me talk to you guys, they will be like, is that Becky? Because I could barely speak to a group of three people, you know. But again, just being open and let the Spirit lead me and, you know, being open and able to talk to you this, to share God's word and the good news of God with you this evening. The good news is that God loves each one of us, that God cares for each one of us. Never forget that. If something is beginning to put something in your ear that God doesn't care, God doesn't love you, know that that is from the enemy. And what you say is, get behind me, Satan, get behind me, my enemy. You have no place in my life. So throughout the different, if you have questions through the sections, you can always ask questions. If there's something you're not very sure of, for the Mass tomorrow evening, I will ask you again to just ask God, begin to think about what gifts of the Holy Spirit do you want God to give to you? That what gifts, again, not for your own personal glory, I'll talk more about this tomorrow evening, but, you know, for His glorification, to further His ministry here on earth. Because I know God has called each one of you to change lives, and you will change other people's lives. After this evening, God is going to use you. After this weekend, God is going to use you in very mighty ways to touch other people and to change the lives of other people. So just be open to that full flow of the Holy Spirit. I was praying about this two nights ago and yesterday night, and I could feel it. As I was just praying, I could begin to feel that power of the Holy Spirit. I could feel the sparks, the shocks, and all that. And I knew that moment that this weekend is going to be awesome, and each one of you is going to receive a triple fold. See, now we say triple is not good enough, I want quadruple or more of the Holy Spirit. So each one of us is going to be filled in a very mighty way.